Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The FAA has issued a ground stop and closed the airspace for parts of North and South Carolina for what it calls national security initiatives. The Chinese balloon suspected of spying has been spotted in the region, and earlier President Biden said we're going to take care of it. But if the balloon is shot down, ABC News contributor Colonel Steve Ganyard, former Defense and State Department official, says
they've got to bring it down and bring it down in U.S. waters, and you can bet that there'll be ships down there waiting to pick up that payload to take a look at what's inside. Is it what the Chinese claim, a meteorological balloon, or is it the U.S. claims a spy balloon?
The airspace closure's in effect until 2:45 Eastern. The Democratic National Committee's approved changes to the primary calendar. South Carolina will hold the first primary for the 2024 election. Over 15 million people under some kind of winter weather warning as extreme cold blasts the Northeast. The overnight wind chill on Mount Washington in New Hampshire fell to 108 degrees below zero. This is ABC News. January jobs report smashed expectations. It also eased fears of a recession, says ABC's M. Wynn.
The unemployment rate dipped to 3.4%, the nation's lowest level since 1969. At the same time, the nation's credit card debt hit a record high in the fourth quarter of last year, staggering $930 billion, according to the credit rating agency TransUnion, meaning more Americans are still spending more money, a likely contributor to that strong January jobs report.
Authorities in Dallas announced the arrest of a 24-year-old man in connection with the theft of two tamarin monkeys from the Dallas Zoo. He's also being investigated for several other incidents. Meanwhile, in New York City, a Eurasian eagle owl is still on the loose, says ABC's Zareen Shah.
Animal rescuers are trying to capture an owl named Flacco. The zoo says vandals cut the cage inside the Central Park Zoo open 2 days ago. And now the big worry is that after a decade of being in the zoo, he might not actually know how to catch his own prey.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There's a constitutional amendment on Wisconsin ballots in April which would give courts more discretion when setting bail for dangerous defendants. The idea is to protect the public, but critics say the cash bail system is unfair and ought to be scrapped. Mike Moen reports.
Marianne Olson with the Wisconsin group Ex-Incarcerated People Organizing says the conversation should be about eliminating cash bail.
A bail system that is based on cash is based on what you can afford. Where is the community safety in that? Where is the justice in that?
Her group believes the practice contributes to Wisconsin leading the U.S. in incarcerating black defendants. She argues cash bail also disproportionately affects women and their families. Currently in Wisconsin, bail is only tied to court appearances. Bill sponsors say judges should base these decisions on more information, including a person's past criminal record, to keep the public safe. But Olson says other approaches, such as ending the cash bail system, also keep public safety in mind.
If an accused came before a judge accused of a violent crime, there would be no cash bail. That person would stay. But a nonviolent offender would be able to be released, continue working, continue being part of their family.
Efforts to eliminate cash bail have surfaced in states like Illinois and California, but those plans have run into various obstacles. Sponsors of the Wisconsin amendment have suggested they'll introduce language to make it clear that only certain types of violent offenses should be applied to a judge's decision-making if the ballot question is approved. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing, advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
It was an eventful show. I'm hoping that Jane doesn't clap me upside the head when we walk out of the studio.
The only thing I really would really like to know, can we make me smaller?
Yeah, look
at it. Can you make it like really tiny?
Yeah, I can do that.
Can you make it smaller than that?
No. That's so cool. You prefer this?
Yeah, and let's get some Vaseline for half the length.
You're like, I got into radio for a reason.
Because no one could see me. But this is lovely. I love it.
You love working with me.
I love being a...
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 1 o'clock, no sour, haha, funny hour. Greg will be here tomorrow to let us know if we got that right or not, but... Jane, how you doing?
I am good.
This show's flying by.
It really is. And we had such fun guests. Jason and Jerry were both tremendous.
Aren't they? They were both so great.
Yep.
And so Jerry was very patient with our technical issues.
Yep.
And we'll definitely have to have... He was very funny.
It was hilarious.
For being, you know, what you think is potentially a dry role as the executive director of the League of Municipalities.
Yeah.
He was very funny.
Yeah. It just doesn't sound like I have a whole group full of chucklemeisters, but he was great.
Yeah. And so we'll have to have him back as far as developments and more recommendations of the gems and treasures across Wisconsin.
Washburn, because my sister and I were in Bayfield a couple of summers ago. It's gorgeous up there.
I mean, that is truly, in the winter, it's pretty when it just has snowed. It's pretty, and I get it. But it gets, you know, it gets ugly quickly. But truly, one of my favorite memories since moving back was when I was moving from my parents' house in Wisconsin Rapids to Milwaukee in October of 2020. And I took 43, and it was just, the colors were so incredible the entire drive. And that didn't even hold a candle to this last fall. I think everyone was saying that the colors this last fall were just insane compared to even what they normally are.
Yeah, you sent some pictures to me from Rapids. It was glorious.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And so that was, if you're listening right now to the podcast for the third hour, go back and listen to the second hour. It was super fun. We had great guests, but now we are in the third hour and we're going to have some fun. And this first, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking about Carroll College, because on this day, they got their charter.
Yeah.
Before we were even a state.
I know. It's crazy when you think about it.
Oldest college in the state, and they are around the corner from us. And so we're going to be talking about that. And then, but for now, another legend has passed.
Yeah.
I didn't see, you texted me about this last night, and Cindy Williams has died at 75, and she is famous for Laverne and Shirley, right in our... I don't know if they filmed it here.
No, I don't think they were. I doubt that they were ever here.
I think they filmed the opening here. Shlemazel. I would think that, because I feel like...
But there was no shots.
There was no shots. But was there any shots of them in that opening of, like, by the river or anything that was down here? Because certainly the opening scene of Mary Tyler Moore is her in Minneapolis, yeah. Even though they certainly filmed the sitcom in Hollywood.
Right.
And so, but she died at 75, which was also the same age Penny Marshall died, was at 75.
I didn't realize that she was 75, and then it just made me worry about Ron Howard. Who is Richie Cunningham?
No, I know who Ron Howard is. You forget, but, I grew up on Nick at Night. Like,
oh,
that's
right.
I know, I watched these shows.
But so he's got to be well into his mid-70s, right? Unless they were a little older than him.
Well, Henry Winkler, who I think put out his condolences, because he obviously has been friends with her since the first day, because they were both guest stars on Happy Days.
Right.
And then got their spinoff on For Laverne and Shirley, both shows created by Gary Marshall. Who also RIP, but, you know, you sent this to me and kind of, and I'm sure this won't be the last time we do this because we're both funny ladies who like to be funny. Didn't you say that what was your first experience of making people laugh? And you're like, ooh, I want to do that.
Oh, when we were in church, and it was a Catholic ceremony. I don't remember which feast day it was, but it was let us kneel, let us stand, let us sit. That's what the priest says, and the whole congregation follows suit. And we did that, and I'm like 5 years old, and I looked at my mother, and it's dead quiet in church, and I asked her really loudly, I said, why doesn't he make up his mind? And the whole congregation burst out laughing, and I was like, this is great.
I love this kind of attention.
All I did was ask a question, which seemed perfectly logical to me. And I got a great response. So, yeah, that kind of set me on my path.
I definitely liked entertaining and I liked being on stage. And it was, whether it was funny or dramatic or anything, like it was all of it. I just liked being on stage and that feeling of being in front of people.
Yep.
And I was thinking about this as you were saying, you know, some of our favorite women comedians over time. And certainly that show and the physical comedy of that show and how great they were. And also, I mean, not unlike Mary Tyler Moore, as far as these two single women who had jobs and weren't somebody's wife.
Right.
And how revolutionary that was as a concept for a show in the 70s. And it was a really popular show.
It was huge. It was huge.
And so, you know, I was trying to make my list of... this is certainly not comprehensive. And so
There's
too many. There's way too many. But if you have your favorite female comedians, whether that's stand-up, whether that's sketch or SNL or actors, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. I, you know, for me, when I was trying to come up, I think still top of list for me is Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. And some of the other SNL women who have, you know, paved the way. Gilda Radner, obvious.
Yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's been so good. What are some of the ones for you?
I was thinking about this, and again, I'm considerably older than you, but one of the very first funny ladies I remember, and I'm just going to play the clip for you, see if anyone can identify this famous stand-up comic from the early days.
But Fang, I gotta tell you something else. The other night he was reading the obituaries and he said, isn't it just amazing how people die in alphabetical order? One of the kids asked him to spell Mississippi. He said, the river or the state? I told him we had a leak in the gas pipe. He put a pan under it. And you say, well, why did you marry the bum? Well, you forgot. I hadn't been done over. I was so ugly. I had no chances at all. My high school class voted me most likely to marry outside my species. I was so ugly. My own Ouija board told me to go to hell. And you know, when you play spin the bottle, if they don't want to kiss you, they have to give you a quarter. Well, hell. By the time I was 12 years old, I owned my own home.
It's not Joan Rivers.
No. Nope.
I can see her face.
Even predates, I think she even predates.
I think
predates
she predates. I mean,
Rivers.
I can see her face, but I can't think of her name.
It's Phyllis Diller.
Phyllis Diller. Yes, of course.
Who is truly one of the first funny women that I really remember.
Yeah.
And I remember her fang jokes. I remember her making jokes about her husband, which just was revelatory to me. And her self-deprecating humor as well really stood out to me.
Well, Joan Rivers was super self-deprecating,
too. She was.
And it's interesting. Have you watched Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Yes.
I need to catch up in the last two seasons, but I devoured the first two seasons. And, you know, that's obviously not a real... It's not a biopic or a bioseries. It's, you know, picking and choosing kind of from, I'm sure, Phyllis Diller, Joan Rivers, and some of the first women who even dared. Because at that time, I mean, stand-up was not... I mean, people were going to jail, right?
Far
as for obscenity and so the ability to be brave enough to be the jester to call out the king has no clothes on. It was a different time than, you know, wanting to. There was more at risk than just like not getting a Netflix special.
Oh, definitely. There's no question. Texter from the 715 says, from Stevens Point, thanks for checking in. Kristen and Jane Cindy Williams appeared at the Iola Car Show in July of 2022.
She was just here.
Wow, that's crazy. And again, we're asking for your favorite funny ladies at 844-967-2789, 541, texting in with Taylor Tomlinson.
Oh, I know she is. She's a current. She's a current stand-up who's very funny. She makes also self. I mean, I feel like most good comics are self-deprecating to a point because you talk about what you know. But she has. She's bipolar, and she has a great bit about figuring out your meds and how your meds kind of become your like life preserver. And, you know, as long as you take your meds, you can hang on and you can go and swimming. It's
sure.
Like, oh no, it's like your little wingy, like
your wings, water
your
wings.
Your water wings. She's like, and don't treat your boyfriend like he's your water wings. Cause then you're both going to drown. She just has this amazing analogy as far as figuring out your mental health and taking responsibility for your mental health. But she's excellent. I mean, obviously, the other classic one is Carol Burnett.
I have a brief clip.
All right, let's play it.
It's a classic.
What brings you to Tara?
You vixen, you. Starlet, I love you. That gown is gorgeous.
Thank you. I saw it in the window, and I just couldn't resist it.
I didn't show it to any of the crew. I did show it to Harvey. He saw it in my dressing room because I didn't want him to crack up. And when I came out and there was the curtain rod, that was one of the longest laughs we ever got.
Talking about the spoof of Gone with the Wind called Went with the Wind, when she comes out in this outfit that is obviously constructed out of curtains, but she's got the curtain rod in her shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious. You can see it on YouTube. I pulled up these clips from YouTube last night. I had so much fun.
I can't. We're gonna keep playing them through the break or when we come back from the break. But if you have your favorite funny women, they can be actors, they can be SNL sketch people, they can be stand-ups of like women that just make you laugh, whether they were trailblazers or not, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Quickly, the Carol Burnett. I just recently saw a clip reemerge of when Maggie Smith was on the Carol Burnett show, and they had a whole bit about her trying to teach Carol how to talk, like with a proper English accent.
Oh.
And you can just imagine how that went. And so, this is really fun. This is really fun. All right, stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We're talking about funny ladies. We'll be right back.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've met Ted Cruz more than once.
He has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate. He literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids are like, what, Bobby?
He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis.
Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 32. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 25. Tonight, cloudy. Overcast skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 32. Temperatures well above average Monday and Tuesday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 24.
Hey, Fox Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station, Civic Media.
Tomorrow night, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah, we can really have lots of fun.
Uh-huh.
You get the gussy up a little bit.
Feel this invitation. The words have bumps. Formal dress. We ain't got nothing to wear to this, and we can't afford to buy new clothes. Don't worry, we'll come up with something. I got a better idea. Let's not go. I mean, why should we go up there to represent the workers, the little people? We're only helping him out.
This is a chance to help ourselves out.
How?
This is a perfect opportunity to meet the right kind of people. Didn't you always want to go inside one of those big, beautiful homes? Laverne, the only kind of parties we've ever been to are bring your own. I like bringing my own. Then I know what I'm getting.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking about funny ladies who inspire us in honor of Cindy Williams, who did pass yesterday at 75, made famous from Laverne and Shirley.
And American Graffiti.
And American Graffiti.
Yeah.
And was apparently here in 2022 at the Aeolus Car Show. And you never know who you're going to run into there.
Exactly.
Maybe that's our bucket list, too. We got to get our bucket list and see where we can broadcast from and really, really lean into
really
all things
hit it
Wisconsin.
Out. Yep,
but
I love it.
We were talking about different funny women, some who are trailblazers, some who are just hilarious, that inspire us. And we were asking for people to let us know which funny women they appreciate. 844-967-2789. I think I'm trying to, like, the person who really, and I love it because she worked for so long before everyone, I think, in the public realized what a comedic genius she is, but is Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
You know, and she was on Gilmore Girls for however many seasons.
Oh, my
Gilmore
gosh.
Girls was on. And then she was on, what was the sitcom she was on with the married couple, Mike and Mindy?
Could be.
Does that sound right? I never watched it, but I know for a long time she was on a sitcom. So obviously she was funny, and the role she had on Gilmore Girls was kind of a comedic relief, sidekick, friend role. But really when she started starring in, like, you know, Bridesmaids, obviously, she was
groundbreaking.
Her role in that and her monologue at the end when she admits that she's, like, part of the CIA and she needs to, like, making friends and all that stuff is she is a treasure as far as her, I would say, living funny women go. But truly also is Lucy Ball.
Lucille Ball, another groundbreaker, which she and Desi did, was like nothing else that anyone had done.
Did you see the Aaron Sorkin movie? With Nicole Kidman. First of all, I did not appreciate Nicole Kidman at first. When I first heard that she was cast to be Lucille Ball, I was like, oh, can she move her face? Like, woman's, I mean, don't get me wrong. Nicole Kidman, incredible actress, a lot of Botox, which I don't blame her for. But Lucille Ball, very, very expressive person. But once I saw the movie, I was like, oh, she nailed it.
Really?
Oh.
I couldn't get her out of my head.
Well, I thought she nailed it as far as what potentially, and who knows, we only saw the Lucille Ball that ever did, like, interviews as her playing herself versus the caricature and the character, right? But the idea of like the businesswoman that she was, the way that she went about the character and like doing the scenes of trying to find the joke.
Yep.
And trying to find the honesty in the joke. I think for anyone who's ever done any sort of improv or sketch or stand up that is like, it's only funny if it's true.
Yeah.
And it made me think of there was a show, also an Aaron Sorkin show, and it was supposed to be kind of like, came out the same year as 30 Rock, except it was a drama instead of a comedy. It's like 60 something. And there was a scene in there where it's about like a sketch show. And it made me think of what you said as far as when you asked the question in church and everyone laughed. Because she's like, why didn't I get the laugh on that line? He's like, because the first time you asked for the butter. And the second time you asked for the laugh.
Ooh.
And it was that line always stuck with me that like, whether it's acting or and comedy of like, it doesn't work if you're playing it for the right. laugh. It only works if there's honesty there.
Speaking of, I got one last clip that we're going to play because we're going to run out of time otherwise. We lost her too recently, the great, great Betty White.
This is exactly what happened during the Great Herring War.
The Great Herring War?
Yes, between the Lindstroms and the Johansons.
Oh, that Great Herring War.
The two families control the most fertile herring waters off the coast of Norway, so naturally it seemed like it would be in their best interest to band together. Oh, boy, was that a mistake. They couldn't agree on what to do with the herring. The Johansons wanted to pickle the herring, and the Lindstroms wanted to train them for the circus.
Weren't they kind of hard to see riding on the elephants?
Oh, not that kind of circus. A herring circus. Sort of like SeaWorld. Only smaller. Much, much smaller.
Did they ever shoot a herring out of a cannon?
Only once. They shot him into a tree. After that, no other herring would do it.
Classic from the Golden Girls. And not to forget Rue McClanahan and
B. Arthur, yeah,
who was brilliant. They were all just brilliant. But Betty White, what a treasure.
Recently, we were at Laughing Tab. Shout out to Greg, Greg's comedy store. Go see comedy there. And when my mom was in town and we went and saw some comedy, and one of, I think it was the opener, had a joke about how white women have lost their leader because now that Betty White is gone and how we're in search of new leadership.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was like, it's kind of true.
It is kind of true. Yep. She was the queen.
She was the queen. And so it's, you know, it's definitely sad, but as far as being grateful for that show, I think that we are primed to have some fun someday as you and I going and reenacting the opening of that show.
Because
we know how much you love being on camera now.
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you, Texter 920, Brett Butler. She starred in the show, Grace Under Fire, and she was a great stand-up. She was, and she just kind of disappeared, too. She was really hot for a while, and then just kind of went away.
Yeah, I wonder, and, you know, sometimes I wonder with people who have, you know, so for so long that model was you became a really successful stand-up and then you got a sitcom, you know, there's Jerry Seinfeld, Roseanne, Ray Romano, like all of those different shows. And so sometimes I wonder how many people, once their show is over, they just go back to doing stand-up. And so they're not necessarily in the same limelight as the show gives you, but they're still working. And so, all right, well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, Carroll College, our neighbor, 177th birthday. Let's talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh. Make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The FAA has issued a ground stop and closed the airspace for parts of North and South Carolina for what it calls national security initiatives. The Chinese balloon suspected of spying has been spotted in the region, and earlier President Biden said we're going to take care of it. But if the balloon is shot down, ABC News contributor Colonel Steve Ganyard, former Defense and State Department official, says
they've got to bring it down and bring it down in U.S. waters, and you can bet that there'll be ships down there waiting to pick up that payload to take a look at what's inside. Is it what the Chinese claim, a meteorological balloon, or is it the U.S. claims a spy balloon?
The airspace closure is in effect until 2:45 Eastern. The Democratic National Committee has approved changes to the primary calendar. South Carolina will hold the first primary for the 2024 election. Over 15 million people under some kind of winter weather warning as extreme cold blasts the Northeast. The overnight wind chill on Mount Washington in New Hampshire fell to 108 degrees below zero. This is ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003, 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at wesaysaveit.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
On the Civic Media Network, no matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network, thank you for joining us in the 1 o'clock hour. We are going to wrap up today's show with one of my favorite guests. It's his second time back, and he shines all year long, but we're invited him today because it is Black History Month. It's day 2. Derek Mosley, former judge of the Milwaukee Municipal Court, where he was there for 20 years, but now the newly minted director of Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. Welcome back to the show.
How are you, my friend?
We are great. We are great. Thriving. We're here. We're reveling in the four seasons and all the glory it brings to us.
Right. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes. And so I'm so happy. I fangirled a little too hard yesterday. I shared your day one Black history knowledge all across all social media. We read it on air. But for people who maybe missed that yesterday or who are unaware of what you, I have to imagine, spend a lot of time doing in this month to do 28 separate posts. Give us a little background about what this project is that you just kind of came up with.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. How it all started was my mom grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they eventually moved to Denver, but she grew up in Tulsa. And I remember her telling me when I was a kid about the Tulsa race riots back in the 1920s. And I had never heard of it before. And I remember going to my teacher and telling my teacher, hey, you ever heard of the Tulsa race riots? Like, no, never heard of it, never heard of it. And so I went back and told my mom that never happened. It never happened, right? And lo and behold, not only did it happen, we just celebrated the 100-year anniversary, right, a couple of years ago. And so that's led me on this mission. I have to find out. I'm not getting the whole story here about things that are happening. So I decided to start researching things, not only for my benefit, but for the benefit of my two girls. And so that's how this all started.
And so how many years have you been doing this?
This will be the 13th year.
Wow. And how many? So basically, it's a different post every day on your Instagram, Facebook. Do you post it anywhere else?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. And it's about, what, 200 to 300 word summary of a story that's pretty unknown as far as getting out of kind of the MLK, Rosa Parks, like some of the heroes that we do learn about and dig a little bit deeper. So yesterday it was about the three other girls that aren't as known than Ruby Bridges. And
correct.
What was today's story?
So today's story was about the Clotilda. And the Clotilda was the last slave ship that came, made the journey from Africa to what is now America. And this was back in 1860, roughly. And on that ship were there was 109 people who were taken from Africa and brought over here. But I focused on the three last remaining survivors of that trip. And they were young, young kids at the time of this trip. But slavery ended in 1865. They came over this on the ship. It was illegal to keep doing the slave trade that way. So the ship was actually burnt and scuttled in the river, the Mobile River. And so these three, once they were released as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation, they got together with other formerly enslaved Africans and bought. They tried to raise money to go back to Africa, but they couldn't get that much money. But they got enough money to buy 3 acres of land outside of Mobile, Alabama. So if you're familiar with Mobile, it's called the Plateau area. And so they got the money to get these 3 acres. And on these 3 acres, they created this town, a self-sufficient black community, had schools, had churches, had groceries, things of that nature, called Africatown. And Africatown still exists to this day. And in fact, is on the National Historic Registry of the United States.
There you go. Another thing I did not know. And so in 13 years, you said you've been doing this. Do you do repeats or is it new is this 28 new ones each year?
Well, it sometimes repeats, right? Okay. It repeats because, you know, you get new followers, you get new people joining on. And so I like to, you know, just like history books, right? You took history from first grade to, 12th grade, and you heard the same stories, right? But with a different spin. And so I try to do that. And, you know, we just talked about the three people on that ship, you know, so it was Cudjo Lewis, Radoshi, and Matilda McCrea were those last three. And the fact that they were the last surviving members, the reason why I wanted to bring that story to everybody's attention is because when Cudjo died in 1935, Radoshi died in 1937, and Matilda McCrea died in 1940. So to put that in perspective for you, the last survivors of the transatlantic slave trade died when Betty White was 18 years old, when Queen Elizabeth was 13 years old, and when Dustin Hoffman and Jack Nicholson were 3 years old. And I wanted to tell this story because we've been told that our past is ancient, right? But we are much closer to our past than we've been led to believe.
And that is, wow, that is wild to wrap your brain around as far as the actual timeline of things. Because we talked about that yesterday of how Ruby Bridges, Gail, Leona, and I'm blanking on the fourth person's.
Gail Etienne and Leona Tate.
Yes, thank you. And they're 68.
68, right?
That's my parents' age.
Right. So your parents lived in a time where blacks couldn't go to school with whites. In fact, my mom actually went to a segregated high school. because she left. I told you she lived in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. And so she went to a segregated high school. So when people talk about this, oh, it happened so long ago. Like, my mom's not so long ago, right? And so it's important that we understand these stories and make a push for them now, because there's this effort to like not teach it at all, which is just insane to me.
It is.
Derek, I want to go back to your mom just for a second. Again, when you found out in school about the Tulsa race riots, and then, or you heard about it and you went back to your mom and said, yeah, that didn't happen. What did she respond with?
So you mean after I woke up from being knocked out? So when I came to, no, she just said, I'm telling you, this is the truth. You got to believe it. And, you know, here I am siding with, you know, I was, you know, you're a teenager, right? So I'm siding with this teacher who's telling me that this never happened. And my mom, who lived in Tulsa and had family members who were part of it, are telling me it did happen. And yeah, this, needless to say, she was upset. But when I started on this journey, she was the first person there helping me out.
How did your teacher respond?
My teacher responded, this never happened.
And just continued to maintain that it never happened.
Correct. Yeah, that never happened.
What, can I ask if it was a white teacher or a black teacher?
Well, it was a white teacher.
Okay.
And remember, this is before the internet, right? And so everything that we had for information were in books that we could find at libraries and what have you. So what happened with the internet was that it just made it so much easier to find this information.
Yeah.
And now it's out, and we celebrated the 100-year anniversary, right? And people were just learning about this. It was the first time that a bomb, literally a bomb, because a farmer had put together a bunch of ammonium and stuff into a glass cylinder and flew his crop duster over Tulsa and dropped it on the black part of Tulsa. So it was like the first time a bomb ever was dropped on the United States. And we don't tell this story.
We don't tell that story. And so we're talking to Derek Mosley, former Milwaukee Municipal Court judge, newly minted director of Marquette University Law School, Law School's Lubar Center. That's such a long title.
What do you say
for short right now, now that you're in there? You've been in there for a month?
Yeah, I've been in there for 13 days.
Oh, wow.
So I just say Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center.
All right. That's a lot easier. All right. So I do want to get to the new job, but before we move on.
Yeah.
So with how much, like you said, there's some that repeat because you do get new followers, but how much on top of your day job work do you put into this every year?
So during the course of the year, I'm doing stories, and my sister, who lives down in Chicago, does the same thing. So we also swap stories.
Okay.
So it makes it a lot easier. And we're compiling all these stories to put a book out together. I couldn't put the book out while I was a judge, because you're not allowed to get other income while you're on the bench.
Got it.
But now that I'm off the bench, I'm able to do this. So my sister and I have been compiling these stories for books to be sold to schools. Heaven forbid they don't get banned, but books to be, you know, sold out to school. So we're really excited about it.
I did not know that. That's really exciting. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So with that, I guess transitioning over to Black history being made today. I'm very excited. I literally registered this morning for the event that's coming up on March 21st with our historic Black leaders who are the first in their position in Milwaukee. And so tell us more about the event.
Yeah, so two things I want to say real quick. First, the power of social media. So we talked about these stories and how I've been putting them out. I put a story out about the oldest park ranger, United States park ranger. She's 100 years old. Her name is Betty Soskin. That one story got shared a million times. And so, I mean, it's just the power of social media is amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. So anyway, so back to the event on March 21st. So on March 21st, we have Mayor of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson. We have the Milwaukee County Executive, David Crowley. We have the Common Council President, Jose Perez. And we have the County Board's President, Milwaukee County Board President, Marcelia Nicholson. And the reason why I wanted to bring them in to the Lubar Center is because in the 177-year history of the city of Milwaukee, it's the first time that all of those positions are held by people of color, which is amazing, one. And two, three of those four people are millennials. And so this is a new generation, a new look, a new feel for a city that's 50% people of color. And so for the first time, someone who looks like half of the population will be in control of that form of government.
And as someone who, as we talked about the last time you were here, I would say, objectively, still pretty new to Milwaukee. And it's been, even in such a short period of time, and despite all of the challenges that the city is facing, to see the energy and I think the enthusiasm that they're all bringing to trying to be innovative in some of the problem solving and the solutions that we need to think about, and the compromise and the relationship building. And so it's been really great to see, I think, that kind of young leadership, especially as we talk about how old some of our federal politicians and judges are. And so seeing young leadership and what, like, it's such an example of what it can look like if we just elect them.
And you know what's so great? All four of them grew up in the central city of Milwaukee. I mean, David Crowley, the county executive, grew up in 53206. Yeah. And then you have Cavalier Johnson also. And on the south side, we had Jose Perez. They all lived in, you know, in neighborhoods that we would consider to be, you know, not so pleasant. And so they grew up in a time when these neighborhoods were struggling. They went through the, you know, the crack epidemic and now the heroin epidemic. And they went through all of this. And so they bring that experience to their jobs, which I love. I can't wait for this conversation.
I know. I'm so excited. I literally, I signed Mike and I up this morning. So we'll be there in person. But you can also, people can register to be, it's going to be both virtual and in person, right?
That's absolutely correct. We prefer people to come in person just because, you know, you can interact easier. Our virtual is a stream, so you're not able to ask questions of the guests. And so they're open to any questions. So if you can, please come in person. And I really wanted you to come to our first event, February 26th. Ooh. We are hosting, it's because it's Black History Month, as we're talking about, at the old Turner Hall, which is now called Turning Tables. We have an event called The Contribution of African Americans to American Cuisine. And so I had four African American chefs, and we're going to talk about all the things that we eat, and it's going to be a coursed meal, all the things that we eat as part of the American palate that were brought to us by enslaved Africans. And so I wanted to invite you to that, but when we put it up, it sold out in an hour and a half. So
wow.
I know. I apologize.
Oh, you just gave us a menu we can't have, Derek.
I know.
Like, why you wanted to invite me? That sounds like it's in the future. It does not sound like it was January 26th.
Well,
it sounds like it's... So if any, is there a waiting list in case anyone drops out?
There is a waiting list. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to pass that waiting list. It's, people are they're clamoring to get together to eat, and the fellowship bring people together, which is what we're all about, the Lubar Center.
Well,
but okay. I'm going to give you a heads up real quick.
Okay.
We're going to do this for every Heritage Month. So May is Asian Heritage Month. And I've already collaborated with Elevation, which is a group here in Milwaukee. We're going to have all the different types of cuisine that make up Asian food. So Japanese, Chinese, Thai. And we're going to do the same exact event with chefs of those nationalities and ethnicities and different food. And they will talk to you about the food. You'll be able to eat that as well. So May. We haven't have a so here's the best way. You need to follow the Lubar Center.
That's exactly. And, I was going to say, is there a newsletter? Yeah. Just follow it on social media?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways you could do it. So the first way you could do it is I tell people just to follow us on LinkedIn. It's Marquette University Law School, Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education, the long name.
We only got 30 seconds left, so I'm going to have you email me all that information so I can share it with the audience. But Derek Mosley, always such a treat to have you on. Thank you for all the work that you do.
Follow Love you,
him
my friend.
On LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all, this is your girl, Cheryl Underwood, and I want to tell you something. My digestive system used to make me feel sluggish, but those days are over. Now I feel great. That's because I increased my fiber intake with the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge, and I'm still hooked. I just took Metamucil every day for 14 days, and it's really that easy. Metamucil traps and removes the waste that weighs you down, so you feel lighter and more energetic. Now I never want to go back to that heavy feeling. Are you ready for the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge? For a coupon and daily support, sign up at Metamucil.com today.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 32. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 25. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 32. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Dry with temperatures well above average. Monday and Tuesday, and highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 24.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
She is a foodie. She owns a restaurant, and she has very strong feelings about tater tots and how they should be presented.
Chefs in particular try to recreate a tater tot. It's highly offensive to me.
This is how you live your life, passionately. It is National Tater Tot Day, and we wanted Francesca Hong, yes. Representative Francesca Hong from Madison, to repeat her rant about tater tots. But unfortunately, because she has a real job, she had prior engagement, so she could not join us live on the show today. But we just instead had to replay when she was on the show and talk to us about being a tater tot purist.
Yes, I just love how she finds it so highly offensive. It's hilarious.
But I will say, I think I did not grow up. Taco John's been around for a long time. We have a Taco John's very close to our studio in downtown Waukesha. My husband loves Taco John's, and I wonder what her. I'm so curious, and maybe I'll have to text her after the show, because that is a little bit of a departure from a tater tot, because they're thinner. Potato Olays are thinner.
Yes.
I like them because they're the outside crispiness ratio to the inside hash brown ratio is there's more crispiness than the softness of like the Oneida version that she was like, Oneida gets it right. Don't screw it up. And I think the seasoning's a little differently.
You mean Oreida?
Is it Oreida?
Oreida.
Oneida is definitely the...
The tribe.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been a day.
I know.
Leave me alone, Jane.
It's Thursday. It's fine. I just thought I'd throw in that a little correction.
And I'm trying, because I would say those, if those can be, if potato Olays can be considered tater tots, I think I have to say that they're my favorite.
Well, we're going to have to bring Francesca back on sometime so we can have this debate.
Yes.
Now I think people are perched on the edge of their chairs. I know I am. I want her determination on whether or not potato Olays come under the tater tot umbrella.
Or, what is the, or are they just their own thing?
They could be in a category all of their own.
Or are they just baby hash browns?
That are round.
Because that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the McDonald's hash brown that's just bigger, but it's just like the little flat pancake looking hash brown that's also very crispy. That I love. And I also love crispy bacon. So I don't like mushy things. I want things to be...
Have some crunch.
Crunch.
And and let's not forget that cheese sauce for the potato Olays. Or do you not like the cheese sauce? No?
My husband's a very big sauce person. I'm like mediocre on... I like it, you know, a little bit. One of the first questions he asked me when we were still just on the dating app and we hadn't actually met in person, but because I was still in Wisconsin Rapids and he was in Milwaukee and we were getting to know each other. He randomly out of the blue texted me and said, what's your feeling on ketchup?
This is a make or break question, Kristen.
And I was like, what? what? And I said, it's fine. Like, I eat it in appropriate ways with appropriate foods as far as putting it on, you know, French fries and a burger. And lo and behold, This person puts ketchup on literally everything.
Your husband puts ketchup on everything?
My husband puts ketchup on white rice.
Oh, ew. No.
I swear, when we first started dating, I made, you know what a Buddha bowl is?
No.
It's like healthy. It's kind of this idea of like complementary ingredients, like Brussels sprouts. It's like a superpower food type bowl where okay. You can put like cooked vegetables in with some kind of grain.
Quinoa and yeah.
Yeah. And it's healthy. And so I made like make your own Buddha bowl. So I had all like different bowls with different things that you could put together and then the sauces, but like things that were not ketchup sauces. And I swear to God, he just smothered his in ketchup. And oh. I was like, these are not complimentary flavors, Michael.
See, you should have been apparently the one to ask about ketchup.
Apparently. And so, I am like a mediocre, like, yeah, like I like some sauce, but if something's drenched in mayo, too much.
Yeah.
Like sushi. Going to sushi restaurants and having some of those crazy rolls that you can't even taste the fish because there's so much spicy mayo or eel sauce or something on there. Like I like an appropriate amount of condiment sauces, but I want to actually be able to taste the real food. See, and not just the gooiness.
Yeah.
Smothered in it.
In the sushi instance, I would take the stuff that's smothered in spicy mayonnaise.
Are you not a sushi person?
So I don't have to taste the raw fish.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Not a fan. So what do you order if you ever go to a Japanese restaurant?
Is it the California roll that has that eensy beansy little teeny tiny piece of tuna in the middle that you can barely taste because it's surrounded by lettuce and other stuff?
Well, a California roll is either going to be fake crab or real crab.
Well, I've had some, again, whatever it was.
Whatever the California roll was.
It just had this tiny little piece of fish that you can barely taste.
And if it's crab, it's cooked.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of crab meat or a little bit of fake crab meat. And I think it's an avocado, maybe a carrot, and I think some sauce on it. Yeah. So
sauce it up for me.
Good enough. What Asian, and now that we're Mr. Mosley told us about, well, we're missing out on the Black History Month cooking, which I'm actually very bummed about, but for the Elevation one and for Asian AAPI
in May,
what is your go-to Asian cuisine that you really could eat daily?
I like Thai food.
Mm-hmm. Like curry spicy. Or pad Thai?
Curry.
Okay.
And I guess that, I mean, I'm not familiar with Japanese cuisine.
I just think teriyaki. Beyond sushi, it'd be like teriyaki.
Sure.
But it's a lot of fish.
It is a lot of fish. And I'm not going to eel.
Have you tried eel?
No.
It's pretty good.
It's.
And the sauce is like pretty sweet.
Is it, what's the texture like?
Like duck.
Oh.
I would say it's kind of oily like duck is.
Okay.
You could do eel, I think. Don't do uni.
What? I don't even know what that is.
Uni is sea urchin.
Oh.
And it's like the big kind of orange.
The spiky ones?
It's, yeah, but it's like the actual meat of it, it's like this orange puree.
Ew.
That tastes like the ocean. It definitely tastes like the ocean.
Yeah, you're really selling me on that one.
I said, if you're not a sushi fan, there's a lot of things I would have you try. Not uni.
Not so much that.
All right. Well, we survived the day. We got one more day till the end of the week. Come back tomorrow for our Friday show. At 11 a.m. But for now, stick around for Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
It's like a French fry in circular form, and it's 50 times better. Like a French fry, circular form is 50 times better. I want size. I want size. I want size. I want size.
Do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation too. The State of the Union address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay. AB.